Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors, disruptors wherever you may be. You are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today's show is episode 111, 111, and we're talking about lessons from the Spartan race. Yes, we'll say more about that in a moment. And you can reach and catch and listen and download the other 110 episodes on Podomatic and on iTunes. Look up Dudes of Disruption on Podomatic and iTunes, and you can catch this top 20 podcast always. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken people, awaken humanity, so everyone, I mean everyone, gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics and development, and personal development. And one of my favorite things that I get to do on a weekly, monthly basis is run a Dudes of Disruption men's group. We meet twice a month. If you're interested in checking out the dudes in our community, please email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. We have a dude from the Dudes of Disruption men's group in studio. Hi, Isaac.
Hi, Nick.
We have Isaac Greenbaum. Isaac is part of our men's group, and he was part of our Spartan race, and he's going to share some of his lessons from that Spartan race. Today's show is Lessons from the Spartan Race. Our Dudes of Disruption men's group just ran that race on August the 26th, Saturday, while raising money for Operation Homefront, which helps to support veterans. And before we jump into that whole conversation, we start every show with a quote or a lyric or a line to help set a context.
I know that, dude.
Yes, that dude has got some wisdom to drop, I believe. So this is from the poem, Isaac, C.P. Caffavé. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, I actually shared this poem called Ithaca in our men's group.
Oh, I do.
So I'm going to take a line from that poem, which is, as you set out for Ithaca, hope your road is a long one, full of adventure, full of discovery. What does that mean to you?
The road full of discovery. Wow. It's ongoing, right? To me, that resonates as enjoy the journey as opposed to, you know, the destination, which may or not be where you end up anyway.
True, right, exactly. Actually, if you're paying attention to the journey and being present inside of the journey, you may end up choosing a different destination.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right? And so Ithaca, by the way, so this is a poem by C.P. Caffavé called Ithaca. Ithaca is the island home of Odysseus, the hero in Homer's ancient Greek epic poem called the Odyssey. Odysseus leaves Ithaca to do his duty, right, to defend Greek honor. He leaves for 10 years, and I think he takes him 10 years to come back as well. And Ithaca, as you said, Ithaca represents the destination, whatever your goal may be, right? We all have goals in business. We have business goals. We have goals for our families. We have monetary and financial goals. Personally, we have health and well-being goals. Whatever the goal may be, that's what Ithaca represents. And what he's saying in that quote, as you set out for Ithaca, as you set out for whatever that goal is, hope your road is a long one. He's actually saying, I hope it's a long one, full of adventure, full of discovery. Ithaca is the destination, and he's actually hoping for a long journey. Why? Why a long one?
Well, for me, long one, hey, long life.
Right.
That sounds good to me.
Yes, right? Okay. I like that. I like that twist.
Mm-hmm. So as you go through life, enjoy as much of it as you can. That's what I'm getting from that.
Okay.
In regards to what you find along that journey.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Just a couple of other verses from that poem. Ithaca gave you the marvelous journey. Without her, you would not have set out. Right. So the goal is almost like the magnet that like forces you out of that shell, forces you out of that cave, has you put your butt on the line. Right. So Ithaca gave you the marvelous journey. Without her, you would not have set out. We're talking both business and personal now. She has nothing left to give you now. And if you find her poor, Ithaca won't have fooled you. Wise as you will have become, so full of experience, you will have understood by then what these Ithacas mean. So the Ithaca that we're going to talk about on this particular podcast is the Ithaca called the Spartan Race. So our Due to Disruption men's group participated and accomplished a Spartan Sprint on August the 26th. I think that's the formal name, right? The Spartan Sprint?
Yes, it's Spartan Sprint.
And inside of it was also raising money for veterans through Operation Homefront. The disruption, and you already touched on this, Isaac, the disruption is that the juice is in the experience and in the journey and in the process and what comes up inside of that journey and inside of that process versus the actual result. The result is important. The end goal is important. And what I want to say and the disruption I want to offer is that the journey is, if not equally important, even more important, right? The result is important, and if we're reflecting and if we're noticing along the way to Ithaca, the goal that is, right? Ithaca, the result. If we're noticing and we're reflecting along the way, then we become more likely, more present to what's coming up for us, what's showing up, what we can learn, what we can build on, what we can disrupt, what, you know, which you know, move left, move right, go backwards, go forward, right? Very much like the Spartan race itself, right?
Yeah.
When you're focused on the journey, you are present in the moment and you're able to expand on what's working and adjust and be agile much quicker. And imagine being in a business where a team is paying attention inside of the journey rather than waiting until the result to say, well, what did we learn here? What did we not learn? What would we do differently? Imagine you were doing that along the way. What could be created? What's possible then?
Well, I think also part and parcel with that is acceptance. When you get in the acceptance of the moment of where you are and in that journey and with who you're with,
right?
Then you're open,
right? Right?
You're not closed down,
right?
You're not shut down into, well, this isn't working the way I want it to,
right?
And it's all for crap,
right?
You're accepting of where of what's happening. So then more possibilities open up.
When you say accepting, what do you mean by accepting? Can you elaborate on that? How are you relating to this thing called accepting?
Well, within the, you know, the sprint, it's not a matter of my physical ability, if we want to relate it to the race, right? But you can relate to all aspects of where you are in your life and what you're doing and
right.
You know, how you're going about it.
Right.
So once you become accepting of that, of your own abilities and are okay with it, and you're not in a beat down mode or like I'm a less than
right.
in this situation.
That you're perfect where you are in any moment.
Exactly.
Right.
Then you become the in discovery of your own power.
Yes. Well, that's an interesting word. I love that word. Discovery, being in a discovery. When you're focused on the journey, right? Like Odysseus, you know, going on the journey for 10 years and then coming back for 10 years. When you're on the journey and you're in a discovery, then that's the juice. That's the nuggets. That's where you can really learn about yourself in that moment. Not to say that you can't learn once you've reached the goal. What I'm wanting to disrupt here is that we could learn a whole lot more quicker and make adjustments a whole lot quicker and maybe produce a different kind of result a whole lot quicker if we were paying attention the entire time.
Yes.
The entire time. You know, in our group, in our men's group, we always say, notice, notice, notice. When something comes up, notice. When a question comes up, notice. When your body reacts a certain way, notice. That's what the journey is to notice. That's the juice in the moment. You know, often people will say to me when I'm doing leadership programs, they'll say, can we get to the real stuff now? And I'm saying, that's what you just did, what you're saying, the place that you're in right now, that's the real stuff.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Thank you very much. So I keep mentioning this Spartan Sprint, Spartan Race that our Due to Disruption men's group accomplished, completed.
Yes.
This past Saturday. Let me just give a little bit of context around it.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that we raised money for veterans who are in need through Operation Homefront. 15 dudes, without an event, raised $23,000. Thank you. Thank you. Ooh, 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 yes. All right. Yes. $23,000.
Yeah.
15 dudes. So again, I'm going to say this for anyone out there who's interested in checking out this community of cool dudes or knows dudes who might benefit and get value from being a part of this kind of community, email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. So we raised $23,000. We run the race. And what happens during the week is that one of our brothers, one of our dudes, one of our friends passed away. So this show, this podcast, The Spartan Race, was dedicated to our friend Pavel Lempert. And we ran the race and raised the money in his honor. So we ran the race both with heavy hearts and with inspiration because of who he was as a human being. He was a human being who was joyous, who was courageous. He was creative. He was loving and powerful all at the same time. So I want to talk about what are some of the lessons that we learned along this journey called the Spartan Race. Again, and most people focus on the end goal, which is, hey, Nick, congratulations, you did the Spartan Race, which, by the way, which is really the first time I've ever accomplished a race like this. I've never done anything like this before. And so I appreciate the compliment, if you will, right? And there was so much more juice behind it. Getting to Saturday was actually all the lessons. And then obviously on Saturday itself, there were even more lessons along the actual journey itself. Okay. So I wanted to share some lessons along the way. What did you learn? How about we go back and forth a little bit here, Isaac?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to go first? Since you're my guest.
Well, thank you.
On the podcast today.
I love this journey. That's why I keep going back to these races.
Okay.
Because this will be my fifth race.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
So, and last year was my first.
Okay.
And through that experience, I learned a lot about myself through that experience. So I was really open to it. And I discovered a lot of that power that we talked about earlier.
Right.
That I had within me that I didn't realize I wasn't tapping into.
Okay, got it. Such as what? Like, what kind of power did you tap into that you realized you did not have?
The fortitude, the commitment. At some point, you know, in that first race, I hadn't trained for it.
Okay.
A buddy of mine has been doing it for forever, and he was like, you got to do this. And I was like, no, I don't. I don't have to do this.
But the training part, you mean?
No, not the training part, just doing the race.
Doing the race, right.
And then there was a race coming up, and I was like, you know what? Let's do it.
Right.
Right? So I committed, right. And that's great. That was the first step. But I didn't train for it. And then I realized throughout the race that it wasn't really, that was probably a gift, not training for it.
Okay. Why?
Because I got to experience myself with where I was at the moment.
Okay.
Right? And check in with myself in the physicality aspect and
right.
health and fitness wise
gotcha.
Where I was.
Okay.
And that was great for that part of it.
Right.
Then when that part ended around mile one, I think.
All that happened in mile one.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Then the rest of the discovery started to happen.
Right.
And that part was more internal.
Yes. Yes.
The commitment, you know.
Yes.
The fortitude of I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this.
Got it.
And the one step in front of the next.
Yes.
And doing that.
Yes.
Was really powerful for me.
Well, it also reminds me of something somebody once said to me, which was when you make a commitment to something or to someone, like you did to with the Spartan Race, when you make a commitment to something, feelings become irrelevant. Because you may not have felt like going on to mile two or to mile three and so on, and you made a commitment. You made a commitment to yourself. You made a commitment to your family, whomever else you may have made a commitment to. And so when we make a commitment, by the way, we do whatever it takes regardless of our feelings. That's the difference between making a commitment and being interested in something. When we're interested in something, we do what's convenient and when it's convenient. And when we're committed to something like you're describing, Isaac, what I'm hearing you say is, hey, feelings actually become irrelevant inside of it. I made a commitment. I'm going to do whatever it takes, one foot, the next foot, et cetera, et cetera. Let me share with you a couple of nuggets that I got from running this sprint race, the Spartan Sprint Race, this past Saturday with you and the rest of our Dudes of Disruption men's group, which is that you can go further with a group, with a support group, with an infrastructure versus going at something by yourself. As I mentioned, we raised as a men's group $23,000. I didn't raise it individually. I raised about $1,600. And what I realized is that inside of a larger group, I could make a bigger difference that we could make a bigger difference. And so for those of us who like to be independent and operate independently and operate like the Lone Ranger and feel like you can get more done, what I'm saying to you is I honor that part of you. It's great that you can be independent and resourceful. And what I'm also wanting to disrupt is that you can get a whole lot more done when you're doing it as part of a group. And that also showed up on the day of the race, which was many of us, including yours truly, myself, could not do all the exercises, right? Like I couldn't do the monkey bars, for example. The obstacle, was that called monkey bar obstacle?
Yeah, those are obstacles that you encounter along the on the
right. So I couldn't route. Do the obstacle, the certain obstacles like the monkey bars, right? And because there was a group, we supported each other either by spotting each other or by taking on doing the burpees. Because if you didn't do a particular obstacle, then you're supposed to do a number of burpees. And so we decided as a group, instead of one person having to do all of them, we'll split them amongst each other. That's what I mean by people that you can go further and be a different human being and make a different kind of difference when you're doing it with a group of people. I mean, the American Psychology Association talks about 9 ways to be resilient. And to me, resiliency, you need to have the resiliency muscle if you want to be successful in business and in your personal life. And the number one way that they describe to be resilient is to have an infrastructure around you, is to have a strong and large support system around you. So for me, what I realized is that it's okay to be vulnerable and say, I need help. It's okay to, you know, to say, hey, can you spot me here? It's okay to say, you know what, can you finish this obstacle for me? You know, can you pick up where I'm leaving off? Even asking people for money, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we raised $23,000 for vets in need. Even me asking people for money or putting it on social media is another way of leveraging and tapping into my infrastructure and into my support system. Because again, I don't have $1,600 necessarily to give to the vets in need. And let me go leverage my network. Let me go leverage the people around me. And so for me, one of the biggest lessons is that I'm not alone in the world, and that I can make a greater difference and I can go the distance, and I can go into a further distance with people around me.
Mm-hmm. I think, Nick, one thing also to note as part of that is that when you can do more,
right,
you can help others do more.
Yes.
So to note where you are,
yes,
and be able to work on that at some point,
yes,
and improve,
yes,
and expand your capability or expand your resources or expand your ability to do a curl or a pull up or whatever that might be in your
yes.
life.
Yes.
Then go out and be able to be an influence on others.
Yes.
To be able to do more.
Yeah.
And to be able to help them more or be able to, you know, give them the support that they need
right.
based upon extra reserves that
right.
you've built up.
Right. I love
so
it.
So noting where you are and then building upon where you
yeah,
are.
Yeah. I love it. So here's another lesson that I learned. And I got a lot of grief for this. I got stung by a bee.
Oh.
I got stung by a bee on the actual Spartan Sprint itself. And it was such an amazing lesson, and I'll tell you what I mean. So we're going down this hill, which you know, because you went down that same hill.
Yeah, okay. A little ahead of you.
For some reason, you didn't get stung by the bee. I'm wondering, notice. Right? Notice, in the world of noticing. We're going down this hill. Somebody, I guess, had stepped on a beehive, I guess is what it was, right? Or a bee's nest or something, and it, I think, upset the natural order of things. Anyhow, I'm going down this hill, and I'm following this gentleman down the hill. And we're going down it pretty methodically, pretty slowly, pretty carefully. And it's almost as if I was mocking every step that he would take, right? If he lifted his right hand, I would lift my right hand. You know, if he took a left step, I would take a left step, right? And it was working, right? I was getting someplace. Nothing wrong. All good. Mm-hmm. And I realized in that moment I wanted to disrupt what had started to become an automatic, which was, what if I venture out on my own? What's possible? Not like good or bad. Not that what I was currently doing by following this gentleman was anything wrong. And at the same time, I felt like I wanted to pick up the pace. I wanted to also discover the world, if you will, or in this case, the path on my own.
Nice.
Literally, the minute I made that choice to deviate from, you know, following him, basically, The minute I shifted to the left and started to go down on my own, I got stung by the bee.
Did you shift with conviction?
I shifted with conviction. Okay. I shifted with passion. And the minute I shifted, I got stung. And that's my good news. And I'll tell you, the reason why it's my good news, even though you guys in our men's group made fun of me because you said that I was, you know, milking it a little bit later on. And
yeah, I wasn't part of that.
You weren't part of that. Okay, of course not. Right, of course not. The reason why I say that's my good news is because what I realize is that I'm going to choose to go and venture out, and I'm going to get stung. People are going to say no. People are going to confront me. People are going to challenge me. People are going to disagree with me. And I still get to figure out, how do I move forward? I still get to figure out, how do I enroll others to join me in the journey, right? I'm going to get stung. That's what happens when you take a stand. When you take a stand, you're going to get stung. And that's part of the course, literally, like our course. Like, in order for me to complete the Spartan Sprint on Saturday, I needed to get stung. And it was my best news.
That's great. That's a great discovery. Because there were other people in the group that also got stung.
Yes.
And they went through that experience a little differently than you.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So for me, it was my good news. It was just a reminder of that's what's going to happen when you take a stand, when you put your buttocks on the line. Things like that are going to happen, and that's okay. That's when you want to check in with your conviction, like you said. You want to check in with your vision. You want to check in with your commitment. Am I still committed to this? Yes, I'm committed to it. And even though I have a sting in my foot, I made a commitment. So my feelings become irrelevant in that moment. They get put aside because I made a commitment. I made a commitment to myself, to you, my Dudes of Disruption men's group, to Pavel, who we're doing the race in his honor. Right. What other lessons, Isaac, did you learn leading up to the sprint race on Saturday, during the sprint race itself? What other lessons would you say that you learned that you could share with folks that they could apply either in business or in their personal lives?
Sure. Well, I felt a lot responsible for the whole sprint thing going on.
Because you were the coordinator. You were the person who said, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. I facilitated that. So that felt great. And being really open and transparent and joyous around that, because I knew all these little nuggets were
right.
waiting for you guys.
Right.
And we had all a diverse group of guys with different levels of both anxiety and
that's putting it mildly.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
It's okay. To each his own.
Right. Right.
But that's what I was faced with. I was faced with this diverse group of guys with a wide range of health and fitness levels, and also issues with health and fitness.
Right.
So how do you reach everyone? One of the things that I've been embracing along the way is reach people where they are.
Okay.
And be able to get them involved in that way.
Interesting.
Right? And find a way to engage them in an emotional connection.
Right.
For themselves.
Right.
And for the people around them.
Okay.
Right? How much better can they be within those groups for themselves and for all those people around them?
Yes.
They improve their health and fitness. If
yes.
If they do an extra, walk around the park.
Right.
Or if they just... wherever they're at,
right.
Do a little more.
Got it. I love it. So I've got another nugget from this Spartan Sprint that we just completed as a men's group on Saturday, which again, we not only completed the race on Saturday, we raised $23,000 for vets in need through Operation Homefront, which is, again, 15 dudes did that.
Yep.
So one of the lessons is really to ask people for support. Ask people to join you. Ask people to participate at whatever level they can. To your point, meeting people where they are, right? And so for me, it was, I remember thinking, I raised most of my money in the last two or three weeks.
We had a couple of people like that.
Yeah, and really, it was really a reminder again of all I have to do is, I'm the one getting in the way. All I had to do was ask. People want to help me. People want to support me. People want to align with me. People want to be part of my tribe. And that's for all of us, by the way. We all have people who want to support us. And it's a matter of us getting out of our own way and asking, because people are always a yes to us. So one of the things that I also want to say that I think where I got in my own way, which again was a lesson learned along the journey, and nothing to do even with Saturday for that matter, it happened all before Saturday, was that I, like many of us, worry about the unknown, and we spend all of our time worrying about the unknown. The unknown for me was, I don't know what this Spartan Sprint race course is all about. I've never done anything like this, right? I have no idea what this means. I don't even know, okay, it's 4.7 miles or somewhere between 4 to 5 miles, and you're going to be up near West Point, and it's outdoors, and that's all I knew. And, you know, you sent me some videos, and okay, and the videos actually spooked me even more, right? Because I worry about the unknown and spend all our time being in our heads, living in our heads with those little voices screeching and the volume pumping up. What I learned, what my opportunity was, again, and I teach this stuff too, it's funny. My opportunity, once again, was to be reminded and to disrupt the worrying by trusting myself, trusting my intuition, trusting that I can and have always figured it out, even in the face of unknown, even in the face of a challenging circumstance, like one of our brothers passing away during the week leading up to the race, that I'm always going to figure out that I am more than enough. I have more than enough resources. I have more than enough love. I have more than enough knowledge. I have more than enough experience to navigate through whatever it is, including a sprint, Spartan sprint that I've never done before, that I'm going to be okay because I'm always going to be okay.
And just think about all that energy that you expended with worry or with all anxiety. So what else can you be doing with that energy? Where
exactly
can you be taking it and using it for something better than, you know, beating yourself up?
Yeah, well, where you could use it, right? I love that you said that. When you're worrying, you're living in your head. And by the way, the world is happening outside of your head. When you're worrying and the little voices are pumping up the volume, that would be called going into your cave and not being present and not being connected to what's happening around you and to the people around you, right? So what's possible when you disrupt the worrying is that you can actually be present in the journey, in the journey leading to Ithaca, Ithaca being the Spartan sprint, right? You can learn. There's opportunities. There are teachers all around you. When you're not worrying and you're trusting yourself and you're trusting the process, teachers are appearing. Lessons are appearing. Gems are appearing. There's so much. So here's the question for our disruptors out there. What's your Ithaca? You know, we shared the poem Ithaca by C.P. Cafave at the very beginning, Ithaca representing the goal. What's your Ithaca that you're working on both at work or at home? And are you paying attention right now, literally right now, as you are traveling in the journey to your Ithaca? Or are you only focused on Ithaca? Are you noticing and paying attention to all the teachers and to all the learning opportunities that are popping up along the way? Isaac, before we wrap up, we always end our podcast with parting shots. What parting shots might you have around our show? So before, I'll give you a second to get grounded around your parting shot. You're listening to Dudes of Disruption. You can find us on iTunes and on Podomatic, and you can also through social media, Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
You can like us, Dudes of Disruption on Facebook, also on Twitter, DOD Talk Radio, and you can also email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. So, parting shots, Mr. Isaac.
It's really simple. I'll sum it up in three words. Yes, you can. That's it. That's it. Take it, run with it. Wherever you are, whoever you are, yes, you can.
Yes.
You got everything you need inside.
Yes.
Get out of your own way because you can.
Yes.
Notice where you are, how you are, where that energy is, and realign it and get it done.
I love it. So I'm going to play on those words. What were the three words?
Yes, you can.
So the four words that I use is because I say so. Because I say so. Like really, like because I say so. Like, and I'm grounded. I'm going to plant my feet, stand firm, and make a point because I say so. Stop waiting for permission to do something. Stop waiting for approval. Stop waiting for somebody else's approval. Stop playing by someone else's rules that somebody else made to appease them and to work for them. Start to trust yourself. Start to trust your gut. Start to make the first move. Just make the move. Start following your path, not someone else's path. Because I say so. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We've had our guest in studio, Isaac Greenbaum, who's part of our Dudes of Disruption men's group. You've been listening to the Dudes of Disruption show. You can find us on Podomatic, the podcast, that is. You can find on Podomatic and on iTunes. You can also check us out on social media. And we end every podcast, like we have all the other 110 episodes, with a Dr. Seuss quote, which is, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened."